This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I had a guy once tell me, based on my music selections, he would never have pegged me for a headbanging heavy metal rock and roller, just based on guy going through, I guess, pictures of me. Just because, when I was on TV, I mean, obviously all those years I spent on television, I couldn't exactly, I had to look like I was on television. It doesn't mean that I wasn't internally a headbanging heavy metal rock and roller. Just means I had to look like I was, on television. Because, hey, it's the way it is, you're doing TV news, and that's kind of the way you got to be, But doesn't mean I could send you some high school pics, and you would go, oh, okay, I can see how you were. Yeah. Hey, you cleaned up your act. Well, yeah, I guess so. But at the same time, I didn't change my taste. Oh, my goodness. It is a Sunday, and, of course, Falcons play tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, against the L.A. Rams coming into town as the Falcons play out the string. And, we're just a little over a week away tomorrow from Black Monday. So whatever Sportology is going to do, it's going to have to go fast, because if there's going to be a decision to move on from Terry Fontenot or Raheem Morris, well, that's going to happen 8 days from now. Black Monday's 8 days from now. So those things are just going to be boom, boom. Remember, because you're going to have Black Monday, right? And guess what else you're going to have? You're going to have the portal open. Ooh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the portal is going to open on portal opens Saturday next. Next Friday. This Friday, the portal opens. And so the portal opens on Friday, and then you'll have Black Monday the following Monday. So there could be lots of changes. The portal's so interesting this year because we were discussing the top quarterbacks. By the way, you're welcome to call in. We have another half hour before we get to NFL football and the triple header today. Seahawks, Panthers, Giants, Raiders, and everybody's excited about that one. Bears, 49ers, live on 92.9 The Game. The quarterbacks and where they might end up, the top quarterbacks, because Byron Brown, for example, star quarterback from South Florida, we're starting to see some speculation, that he's going to follow Alex Golish, his head coach, to Auburn, which would be really good for Auburn. If Byron Brown goes to Auburn and that becomes a deal, Auburn, they've been seeking that quarterback. Nick Marshall after he left Georgia, did a really good job down there. He actually did a better job than I expected him to. For whatever reason, Bo Nix was never Bo Nix at Auburn, right? Bo Nix was Bo Nix at Oregon. Bo Nix is Bo Nix with the Broncos. I don't know why he wasn't Bo Nix at Auburn, but he wasn't. And then the whole Jackson Arnold thing here, everybody kept thinking that whether he was at Oklahoma or at Auburn, that Jackson Arnold was going to blow up and, he was going to be that superstar quarterback, and he never really happened. But Brown is a little bit more established. I think, Byron Brown goes to Auburn, and, yeah, that's going to be really intriguing. Auburn, suddenly, if I were an Auburn fan, I start to get excited. Because I said, look at all these coaches that are going to be that are moving around, right? I mean, you have the obvious ones, Lane Kiffin at LSU or James Franklin at Virginia Tech. We keep saying who's going to be Cignetti 2.0. But the big coaches like Kiffin to LSU, even Matt Campbell to Penn State, I expect Penn State to do really well, and Matt Campbell's a great coach. Franklin to Virginia Tech will be better. When you're talking about great coaches going to big schools, it's pretty obvious that they're going to be okay, right? I mean, these schools are going to be fine. These coaches are talented. These schools are going to be good. What I'm looking at is kind of the secondary school. Well, not that Auburn's a secondary school. It's not. But what I'm looking at is, can they take that leap back up? Because, look, Penn State, I think you may have seen it against Clemson yesterday. Penn State's actually a good team. I know they only went 7-6 this year, but they're actually a really good football team. And they you know, they were number two in the nation, and they actually just couldn't get out of their own way. But it wasn't for lack of talent. You know, you want to say, well, it was James Franklin, they just had to make a coaching change. Maybe. Maybe it's sort of the version of the Falcons, you know, and Penn State just had to kind of get out of its own way. And they were just never going to James Franklin had that ceiling that he couldn't get through. And Matt Campbell can get him through it. Maybe, but of course, year before, Penn State won the Big Ten. So there's that too. The point is we're looking, if you're looking for Cignetti 2.0, is it Bob Chesney who's leaving James Madison to go to UCLA? Is UCLA, because here's the next James Madison coach, just like Cignetti, is he going to take that James Madison team that went to the playoff and played pretty darn well, I thought, against Oregon? You know, they were down 34-3 in a hostile environment, and they could have quit, and they didn't. They kept coming at him and coming at him to the point where, you know, it's 51-34, and they're kicking an onside kick, and so the Dukes never quit against Oregon, and they scored 34 on him. And they just kept coming at him. So Bob Chesney's now going down to UCLA. UCLA is a bit of a different animal than Indiana. UCLA's got some – it's tough to win at the California schools in the – I explained this yesterday in the college show. I only know this because I worked in L.A. for 10 years in San Diego and L.A. So I got to understand the lay of the land at one point in my life, 22 – so it was so long ago, 1999 maybe – and I'd have to go back and look. Carson Palmer's freshman year at USC, I was the pre- and post-game show host because my station was the USC station. So I was the pre- and post-game show host with a guy named Tim Ryan, and I did the pre- and post-game for USC football. So it was so long ago that the opening game was Carson Palmer's freshman year and his first start, and they were playing Purdue, and Purdue's quarterback was Drew Brees. That's how long ago it was. But so I have kind of a, you know, working knowledge because I've been to Rose Bowl and Coliseum and both, you know, programs many, many times, and because of the years I spent there. USC and UCLA are two totally different animals. USC is unfettered. Many fans don't realize that USC is a private school. So as a private school, they don't have to follow any of the stupid rules in the state of California. When I say stupid rules, I mean stupid rules. They're stupid rules because it's not a free market in California. They put coaches into a box, and the state legislature says you could only pay a coach so much money. Well, that's not really the way it works anywhere else, right? The state legislature caps the amount of money that coaches can make at California schools. That includes Cal, Berkeley, it includes UCLA, it includes other schools like UC San Diego, UC Riverside, UC Santa Barbara. It includes the state systems like, you know, Cal State Long Beach, Cal State Fullerton, Cal State Bakersfield. So they cap what coaches can get paid. And USC doesn't have a cap. USC can pay, well, we'll pay whatever we damn well please. And the difference, to explain it to you, it's not like Alabama and Auburn, USC and UCLA. It's much more like see, Vanderbilt's a private school, right? I mean, so that they can do whatever they want to do, too. It's much more like what would be a good comp for USC and UCLA? It's more like maybe in the pros, I can go to like the Knicks and the Nets, okay? Or maybe the Cubs and the White Sox. The UCLA is nowhere in the universe of USC in Southern California, okay? USC is light years ahead of UCLA in terms of fan support and interest level, because I can make an argument to you that at various times, the number one team of all the teams, college or pro in L.A., having worked there and covered them, et cetera, that it's either the number one team goes back and forth between the Lakers and the Dodgers, right? It's not the Rams, sure as hell not the Chargers. It goes back and forth between the Lakers and the Dodgers as to, and at the moment it's the Dodgers, who are the most popular team in town. But they're 1-1A in the city, right? I mean, the Clippers are an afterthought. You know, the football teams are kind of an afterthought. Now, I can make an argument that the number three team ahead of the Rams and ahead of the Chargers is USC football, okay? Because that's how popular USC is in Southern California. It's immensely popular. And UCLA is just like, oh, UCLA's got a football team? Oh, okay. I mean, you know, it's just totally, totally different planet. So I don't know that Bob Chesney's going to be able to get it done there. So he started looking around here, and I go, well, you know, it's going to be interesting. Ryan Silverfield's going to Arkansas. But I really look and I say, man, what is Alex Golish going to do at South Florida? Now, at Auburn. What Florida is doing is double dipping into the state of Louisiana. Maybe this time it works. They went to Louisiana and they got Billy Napier. That didn't work. Now they've gone east and gone into New Orleans and they've gotten from Tulane. They've gotten John Summerall. Maybe that works. I think Florida's a bit of a heavier lift. I think the upside of Florida is great. Okay, it's great. But he's going to have to build that program up. I'm not sure that that's a real super quick fix there, especially when you're having to replace DJ Lagway, depending on if they go into the portal and get a quarterback down in Florida and they spend the money to do that. Maybe it's a quicker fix than I think, and Summerall has a bigger impact down there in the short term. I think it may take him a couple of years, as opposed to what I'm trying to get to is I think Golish, if he can get Brown to go to Auburn, might turn Auburn into a 9 or 10 win team next year. And because I think they were close anyway, they've been missing a quarterback down on the Plains, and Brown is that quarterback. And then you start looking around and saying, you know, where are the quarterbacks going to go? Like, I have no idea where Dylan Raiola is going to go. I have no clue. Is he going to Texas Tech? Is he going to try and fill out and live out his whole, you know, dreams of being Pat Mahomes 2.0? I guess he could. I suggested that it's possible he goes to Georgia, and some people went, why would Dylan Raiola go? Well, he originally signed there. You know, I mean, originally was committed there. And, you know, he was the whole Buford thing, and then his brother, the Buford thing, right? I mean, there's the whole thing, and look how good Buford, look how good Buford is. And so, you know, when Dayton decommitted, you know, I mean, would he go to UGA? I mean, could he? Would UGA fans want Dylan Raiola? I don't know. Beats me. I think Dylan Raiola is a good quarterback. Dylan's got one flaw in his game, okay? He's got one, I mean, setting aside the whole, you know, Patrick Mahomes thing. He's got one flaw in his game, okay? He holds onto the ball too long. He holds onto the ball too long. And I kept screaming that Nebraska had to get that out of him. He's got to know that he could throw the ball. It's okay to throw the ball away. One of the reasons he got sacked too many times, he just holds onto the ball too long. He does not have it in his brain. Throwing the ball away does not exist. I'm not wasting. I'm going to either make a play or get a sack. And that's just, it just is, no, dude. But can he throw, if you didn't watch him, he can throw the football. He's really good. So if he gets with the right team and the right system, Dylan Raiola could be a Heisman candidate. Don't kid yourself. He's a really good player. And Nebraska missed him a lot. But he does hold the ball too long. And then there's Brendan Sorsby at Cincinnati, who I think, if I had to guess, because he's listed ahead of Raiola there, I think Sorsby's going to go to Indiana. I mean, if I had to guess, I think Mark Cuban is – look, Mark Cuban's spending the money at IU. Mark Cuban is not afraid to spend the cash, okay? But in Sorsby and Raiola and Brown and these quarterbacks that are at the top of the portal this year, you might well expect that you're going to have a little piece of news that we're going to have our first $5 million man. That we'll have our first $5 million quarterback in the portal. Yeah, I know. It's out of control. I'm with you. Got to be some curbs. Yeah, well, the only way we're going to get curbs is to have, you know, the players collectively bargain and we get a super conference. We got to treat it like the NFL, boys and girls and moms and dads. It's got to become the NFL. We've got to have a contract. We've got to have a representation. We got to have salary caps. It sucks, but otherwise you're going to get this. Don't complain to me about this if you're not willing to accept the fact that we're going to have basically some form of unionization of the athletes and we're going to have an NFL style system, because that's the only answer. It is legitimately the only one. Going to NFL football, a triple header today right here on 90 Time the Game. We'll do that as we continue on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios on this Sunday. A few more minutes with you, and then we'll turn it over to NFL football triple header on the station today. Seahawks, Panthers, Giants, Raiders, Bears, 49ers. Monday Night Football tomorrow night, Rams in town to take on the Atlanta Falcons. And then we'll see, of course, the Falcons playing out the string. You have the Rams and you have the Bagheads. Last two games here. And then we'll see what all this commotion is about in the evaluations. To kind of update to everybody, Noel, on the voting. Oh, it's a flash poll that we did with callers today. Yes or no, will they be back? We end up with yes, 10. Terry Fontenot, yes, 10, no, 1. Raheem Morris, we ended up with yes, 9, no, 2. Kyle Pitts, we ended up with yes, 11, no, 0. So everybody thinks Kyle Pitts is coming back. And Kirk Cousins, we ended up with 8, no, and 3, yes. But again, Noel, we can't know. We only know what we can't know, right? We can't know the status of Michael Penix when the team thinks he's actually going to be able to return. I'm sure they have a pretty good idea on this. We can't know if Kirk Cousins wants to stay or if Mr. Blank wants him to stay or would he rework his deal or is there something else they can go out and get? There's too many unknowns. To start with, that we don't know that, you know, 8 days from now that Raheem Morris will even be the head coach, correct? We have no idea. So I think that's kind of where we stand. And Noel, you and I were similar, correct? I lose Noel? I guess I lost Noel.
Say it again, John.
Oh, yeah. You and I had the same votes, correct?
Yes, we did.
Okay, we both thought. And again, this is just flash right now. Fontenot's back. You said yes. I said yes.
Yep.
Raheem's back. You said yes. I said yes. Pitts is going to be back, tagged. You said yes. I said yes. And we both said that Kirk Cousins would not be.
Yes.
All right. But again, we don't know. We don't know the extent. You know, is Michael Penix going to be back for, you know, training camp? Is he going to be back for preseason, regular season, not be back the entire season? We don't know. And that would certainly, you know, the one thing I think we all kind of don't want to do is have them pick up Kirk, to pay them $57.5 million. If Kirk Cousins, if they work it all out here, that Kirk is back, we want him to rework his deal, don't we? I think so.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way to go with this, correct? I guess you could argue, I don't know. Again, this is all going to be – the whole thing is just bloody disappointing because what you see in this team and you've seen flashes of with this team this season is their ability to be a pretty good football team. Special teams does not get enough finger wagging from all of you about how special teams kicking and kick coverage has decimated this team this year. You know, I mean, we went through three place kickers crying out loud and then all the poor. I don't know the last time I've seen a team be as poor at kick coverage as this year's Atlanta Falcons team. I'm sure there have been. I don't go through the stats and all that kind of stuff. But the Falcons kick coverage this year is abysmal. I mean, it is really bad. And I don't know if that's a personnel issue or a scheme thing or what, but it's really hurt them. It's cost them a game or two. The special teams has probably cost them at least two games. Maybe you could argue it's cost them three. Now, the very first game against Tampa, who knows who wins in overtime if Youngway makes the field goal, but at least they're in overtime. At least they got a shot. So, we don't know exactly. You know, it cost them against the Jets. The stinking Jets. Oh, my God. You look back on it and you say, what's the worst loss? Well, 30-0 to the Panthers, you know. I don't know. I think it's the AFC East losses. The two to them, Miami and the Jets. How do you lose to those two, and how do you lose the Jets at all, and how do you get blown out by the Dolphins? I mean, oh my God. There are times where this team just disappears into the oblivion, and times where it plays, you know, it's not unlike the Hawks. The Hawks play really well against good teams, and then they get beat by like the stupid Wizards or something, you know, and they, you're like, what? You got beat by who? The Wizards are no good. How do you lose to them? They up and down to their competition. And if you're going up and down to your competition level, which has been really the last couple of years, isn't that a coaching? They can only get kind of fired up and play to the level of the competition. And that's, you know, them finding that within themselves and not the coaches being able to generate that. I don't know. Beats me. The whole thing is infuriating, which is why I'm glad, you know, that Mr. Blank reached out to this company that helped him with Atlanta United, because Lord knows Atlanta United needed help, helped him with the NWSL and other things, this Sportology group, and that they've been consulting him. It'll be really interesting to see what the results of that consulting are. I can't let myself believe, I don't know, maybe it's true, but I can't let myself believe that what happens tomorrow night against the Rams and what happens a week from today against the Swampers has any bearing on whether or not Raheem Morris is back. You know, they were eliminated 3 weeks ago, right? A month ago. So this should have no bearing. If they win the two and end up 8-9, why would that have any? They're still out, okay? If they lose the two and end up 6-11, it doesn't matter. I mean, it should have no bearing on any decision that has been made in regards to anybody, including Terry Fontenot or Raheem Morris. They're either, as of right now, they're either back or they're not back, regardless of what happens against the Rams, regardless of what happens against the Swampers. You know, because I think all of us can agree, hey, the team won four in a row at the end of the year. Look what they did. We believe that we can, you know, run this back. Really? That's interesting. Now, the argument in favor of continuity, I understand the argument in favor of continuity. I get it. It makes a lot of sense. There's an argument to be said that you bring back Terry Fontenot, a strong one, and bring back Raheem Morris, and then maybe make some coaching changes. You have a new special teams coordinator, new offense coordinator, however it works. Would Raheem do that? I don't know. He fired his buddy Jimmy Lake. He fired his buddy Ike Kelliard. He's made two coaching changes. So would he, you know, would he be forced to make coaching changes? Would he be told he had to make coaching changes in order to maintain his job? None of this is known to us. This is really hard for us to kind of grasp here. We'll all find out together. Okay. And that'll be, no, if Raheem isn't fired on Black Monday, I don't think he's getting fired. So I think it's going to be pretty obvious to us a week from Monday on Black Monday that he's either here or he's not. And we'll find out all together at the same time. You know, they're really, again, it's a credit to them that Flowery Branch is a closed circle, because if I were an owner, I think I would be a closed circle too. I would kind of operate under the same thing. People get mad at Tony Ressler. Braves are a different story. Alex Anthopoulos, by nature, I've mentioned this before, is a very open kind of guy. He kind of wears his, you know, on a sleeve. He's a transparent kind of guy. That's just the nature of who he is. Plus, but they don't have an owner. Remember, they have a board. They do not have an owner. They have a board. They're more like the Packers than they are anybody else. They're a team that sells stock. I mean, they're a lot like the Green Bay Packers. Maybe that's the way to run an organization. I don't know. I'm just telling you it's a different vibe. So, all right, well, we'll all find out together. We have a triple header of NFL games today. And then Falcons and Rams tomorrow, all-day coverage beginning with the morning shift and all day through to Monday Night Football tomorrow night between these two. And I'll sit there like I always do, and I'll root for the Falcons to win because, I don't think it matters in the decisions that are going to be made. So might as well win a game. People are like, well, you know, it's better if we lose. We'll get a higher pick in the second round. Oh, okay. Would Les Snead trade James Pierce Jr. for the number one pick? That's interesting. I think he would. So that's the chalk one up for Terry Fontenot. All right. My thanks to all of you, and enjoy the NFL football today right here on, thank you, Noel, Sports Radio 99.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.